Today, it's our regular Wednesday roundup of the week in politics. Political junkie Ken Rudin is with us here in Studio 3A. In Nebraska yesterday, football hero Tom Osborne lost in the Republican primary for governor. He was once considered a shoe-in for the GOP nomination to run for governor. In the race for mayor of Newark, New Jersey, a not-so-surprising victory for up-and-comer Cory Booker. And as we all knew that politics makes for strange bedfellows, but Hillary Clinton and Rupert Murdoch? If you have questions about the week in politics, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. NPR political editor Ken Rudin is with us. Ken, always good to have you with us on Wednesdays.
Thanks, Neil.
And why don't we begin in the Garden State, Newark, New Jersey's New Jersey's largest city. It's going to have a new mayor.
Yep, Sharp James, who had been mayor for the last 20 years, announced this year he's retiring, and the guy he beat in a very ugly race 4 years ago, Cory Booker, a much younger guy, and perhaps the new face of politics in urban politics, won pretty handily. He beat Sharp James' anointed successor, like with 78%. But, you know, 4 years ago when Sharp James and Cory Booker ran together, both African-American candidates, but Cory Booker was called white, he was called Republican, he was called Jewish. He was, you know, it was really an ugly race, no pun intended, but it was an ugly campaign between two candidates, the old and the new. And this year, and as of yesterday, starting yesterday, Cory Booker represents the new.
And Cory Booker had adopted some lessons from his predecessor, in fact.
Meaning
Mr. James. He'd become much more of a regular a candidate than the insurgent that he posed himself as 4 years ago.
That's true. I mean, he really ran as an incumbent, and given the fact once Sharp James said, I'm not running again after 20 years, he did sound like an incumbent. But, you know, it's not too many African-American candidates who get the endorsements of Jack Kemp and John McCain and things like that. So Cory Booker is an interesting guy, and it'll be interesting what he can do in Newark, which obviously has a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to West Virginia. And where, if Republicans have their way, Robert Byrd, the longtime Democratic senator there, will face a tough campaign come the fall.
There's a guy named John Racey who, in 1984, he was a Republican nominee for the Senate then, and he almost beat Jay Rockefeller. That was not supposed to have happened then. Racey ran again for governor 4 years later, but he's really been out of the public eye since then. But he's a multimillionaire, a free-spending kind of candidate. And, you know, Robert Byrd is 89 years old. His wife passed away about a month or so ago, and there's some question about whether, you know, he's up to the task. Yesterday, he gave a victory statement, a written statement. There were no public appearances. And, you know, as of June 10th, he will be the longest serving senator in the history of the United States, Robert Byrd. And, of mm-hmm. course, Democrats Republicans are saying that his time has come and gone. You know, Democrats said that about Strom Thurmond for years, too, and they couldn't beat Thurmond. I don't think they could beat Byrd either.
We have a question about the politics in West Virginia. 800-989-8255, if you'd like to join us, by the way. This is Mike calling from Martinsburg, West Virginia.
Yes, hey there. I'm wondering whether Mike Callahan, who looks like he's going to be the Democratic candidate, can really be a challenge for Shelley Moore Capito, given the fact that he's so much a politician. You know, he was the chairman of the Democratic Party in the state of West Virginia, and it seems like while Shelley might be a Republican and nationally they're not doing so hot, she really is probably going to weather this. And I just like your comments.
Ken Rudin?
Well, I think you make a good point. Shelley Moore Capito is the only Republican in the West Virginia House delegation. Her father was the former Governor Arch Moore, a longtime Republican power broker in West Virginia politics. She was actually urged by the White House to run against Byrd. They thought she'd be the strongest candidate, but she felt that, you know, she has a whole future in front of her. Every 2 years, the Democrats put Capito on their hit list. Obviously, it's a Democratic state. We've seen Democrats win that district over and over again, but she is a good campaigner, and I kind of think that she holds on this year. She certainly has a lot of money.
Hmm. Thanks for the call, Mike.
No problem.
Yesterday in Nebraska, Tom Osborne, a Republican congressman from that state, but better known as the beloved coach.
No. Better known as God.
Well, anyway.
For 25 years, he was the coach of the University of Nebraska football team. They won 3 championships in the 1990s. I mean, the governorship was his. And then George W. Bush took it away from him. And what I mean by that is that he took George W. Bush named the term-limited governor of Nebraska, Mike Johanns, took him out and made him Secretary of Agriculture, which put Dave Heineman, there are a lot of names here, mm-hmm. as the new governor. So instead of having a cakewalk to the governorship, as Tom Osborne had, he now has a guy named Dave Heineman who wanted to run for a second term. And so while you have the celebrity, I mean, you know, football is God, is life in Nebraska. Tom Osborne, a very, very popular congressman from the western part of the state. But Heineman was a very popular governor. One recent national poll showed him the eighth most popular governor in the country. And, you know, you could have celebrity, but there's also competence. And Heineman showed tremendous competence as governor.
Mm-hmm. We wanted to talk a little bit about the virtue of celebrity in politics. And joining us now by phone from his home in Bethesda, Maryland, is Fred Grandy, a former congressman from the state of Iowa, where football is close to being God. And some of you may remember him as Gopher from the television series Love Boat. Fred Grandy, nice to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you. Football is not God in Iowa. Soybeans are.
Soybeans are God. Well, it's good to know that things are like that. Let me ask you, some of the problems of being, obviously being a celebrity, name recognition is the most important currency when you're running for elective office, and being a celebrity obviously helps with that. On the other hand, is it sometimes difficult, no matter what you did, whether you were an actor or an athlete, to be taken seriously?
Well, the first thing you have to do is distinguish between celebrity and icon, which is what Tom Osborne is in Nebraska. That is a totally different category. Celebrities are basically people who are known by their names. Icons are people who are known by their deeds. And Osborne's deeds as the coach of the Cornhuskers, I mean, any politician who has worked Nebraska knows that you can meet everybody in the state on Saturday afternoon in front of Cornhusker Stadium in Lincoln. I mean, that's the place empties in to Lincoln, and if you preside in that arena, you're Caesar. So it's a little different from just being well-known from a television series. And Nebraska, really, think of what else is going on in Nebraska. It's just football. I mean, rooting for the Cornhuskers is the closest thing we have in this country to Islamic fundamentalism. and really, Tom Osborne, in addition to that, has been, I guess, a fairly credible congressman. So his bona fides are pretty good. If anything, he would have had a problem because of the congressional district makeup of Nebraska. There's one in Omaha, and then there is a district that basically takes in Lincoln, and then the whole western part of the state, the Sand Hills, are made up of smaller towns like Grand Island and Scottsbluff. That's Osborne's district. But because he is so well known because of his legendary reign as coach of the Cornhuskers, I think that pretty much is a wash. I do not know this guy Heineman. But if Nebraskans are like Iowans, and they tend to be, they are loath to throw out incumbents unless they've done something really terrible. And from what I've heard, this guy Heineman has not done that at all.
Mr. Grandy, it's Ken Rudin here. There used to be a congressman named Fred Grandy who ran against the Republican governor of Iowa in the 1994 primary.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Do you see any similarities between Osborne's challenge of a sitting governor and your challenge of a sitting governor of your own party?
Better than I did. I mean, I came very close, but I must tell you that when it, at the end of the day, and again, Osborne is I think a cut above wherever I was, and I'd served in the House for 8 years when I ran against the sitting governor. But the secret, particularly in a primary race, when you're going in the same party against two guys, is organization. And incumbents always have an advantage there. And in my case, I was running against a guy who I think had been there for 12 years.
You don't mean Terry Branstad, do you?
Yeah, and he had... In Iowa, the governor has vast appointment power. So he had rat-hole commission members and people that served on committees all over the state. And, of course, they're loyal around election time. So if that's true in Nebraska, that is a huge advantage for the incumbent.
So is there nothing left now for Tom Osborne but to become a radio talk show host?
Well, he, of course, could become a major television celebrity. I think he's got to be a little younger before that happens. So he's probably going to wind up in radio or, worst of all, podcasting.
There could be no fate worse than death. Fred Grandy, we should mention, is now on WMAL radio here in Washington, D.C., locally, and apparently there's some competition from Morning Edition. I don't know about that, Fred.
Well, you know, obviously we're not heavily subsidized by the government, so I wouldn't call that competition unless you were employing a Soviet model here, which I'm sure you're...
Fred Grandy, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate
it. You're
very welcome. Fred Grandy, a former congressman from Iowa, and he was kind enough to join us today from his home, which is now in Bethesda, Maryland. Let me ask you another question. This is the Senate race in Florida, Ken Rudin, and Catherine Harris, the representative that ran for Congress a few years ago, of course, best remembered for her role in the recount in Florida in 2000, running for the Republican nomination for Senate. She's run into some difficulties, including from the president's brother, the governor of Florida.
You know, you think that the Democrats who hate Catherine Harris, given her role in the 2000 presidential election and the subsequent recount, but it's Republicans from day one who really were never happy with her as the nominee. Jeb Bush even said on Monday that, look at the polls. She can't win. She simply cannot win. And that's been the feeling among many Republicans, especially from the governor, from day one. Mm-hmm. But Catherine Harris is rich. She listens to one person, that's probably Catherine Harris. She says, look, I'm not dropping out. President Bush was in Florida yesterday, ostensibly, to talk about the prescription drug plan. But part of it was to talk to her about, look, you know, we'll offer you some kind of a position. Just get out of this race. And she just was not listening.
The Republicans were trying to encourage the current speaker of the assembly to run against her in the Republican primary. He announced today, not only is he not going to run against her, he's leaving politics.
Well, first of all, his term as speaker expires this year, and he's also from the Pensacola area, you know, the northern part. As you well know, Neil, no northern Florida person has been elected to the Senate since Claude Pepper in 1944. So it's been, I mean, basically, if you're not familiar to the Miami, Orlando, Tampa area, and Alan Benz, the House Speaker, was not, you really have a hard shot of winning.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with NPR's political junkie, Ken Rudin, 800-989-8255, if you'd like to join us. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Steve. Steve calling us from Okeechobee, is that right, in Iowa?
Okeechobee,
of course.
Okeechobee, and I'm actually in a bad cell site, so I'll make it quick. Can you handicap Governor Warner for me? I'm a longtime Republican, but I've got some Democratic friends in D.C. that are asking me to take a look at him. So can somebody give me a comment, and I'll hop off the air.
In terms of a presidential runner, is that what you're asking?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Steve. Thanks very much for the call. Governor Mark Warner was term limited and has now left office in the state of Virginia. Ken Rudin?
A lot of Democrats are calling him the anti-Hillary, given the fact that he's from the South. He's from a so-called red state, although Virginia may not be as solidly Republican as it had been in the past. But he left the governorship, it's a one-term governorship in Virginia, with astronomical ratings. Both Republicans and Democrats thought he did a great, great job. He was able to get his lieutenant governor elected back-to-back, so he comes with very high ratings. Now, he's on the stump. He's been traveling to Iowa, New Hampshire. The reception he's been getting is decidedly mixed. Sometimes he's very earnest. He's very smart. Mm-hmm. One-on-one, he's very good. But
I saw an interview he did on Meet the Press with Tim Russert, where on issues like national security, foreign policy, he seemed less deft than he did on domestic issues.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And that's the problem with the governor. That's why the United States has never elected a governor. Oh, no, we have elected a governor president.
Southern governor, Arkansas, I think it was.
And Texas, I believe.
There was that. Yeah, Georgia, was it?
And Georgia, right.
Let's not go okay. there. Speaking of strange bedfellows, Hillary Clinton and Rupert Murdoch?
This is great. Rupert Murdoch, the chairman of Fox News, perhaps a charter member of the vast right-wing conspiracy, is hosting a fundraiser for Hillary Clinton, who is running for re-election and ostensibly is the front runner for the Democratic nomination in 2008. It's very, very interesting the fact that you think that Rupert Murdoch hates everything that the Clintons stand for, but Murdoch is, you know, he's done this before. People forget that before he was backing the conservatives in Great Britain, he was a Labour backer. But when the tide changed in Britain, he switched to the conservatives. And Rupert Murdoch, I'm writing the NPR blog this week, and I got a great email that, he can turn on the dime. Maybe the next Fox show will be Combs and Hannity. I like that one.
You like that one.
I did.
Let's see. This is Peter. Peter's calling us from Andover, Massachusetts.
Hi, Neil. Great show.
Thanks.
Hey, I got a question about Lynn Swann for governor of Pennsylvania. I'm looking at his website right now, and he's got an awful lot of smear stuff about Ed Rendell. Like, there's a big thing on Ed Rendell's broken promises on property taxes, and then there's links to this story where it says that Ed Rendell signed this legislative pay raising for because he said he had to kiss a little butt, quote. And I was just wondering, do you think this is because Swan is getting a little desperate, or is this because Pennsylvanians are legitimately sick of Ed Rendell?
Well, it's hard to be sick of Ed Rendell. He's only in his first term as governor. But what you say is true. There's a lot of dissatisfaction with the pay raise for state legislators, and Lynn Swan, the former Pittsburgh Steelers Hall of Fame wide receiver, is hoping to capitalize on it. And the polls, actually, I don't think it's a desperate tactic because the polls show it very, very even. And I've seen some polls that show Lynn Swann actually ahead. But you should know that, and it's my understanding also that in the history of Pennsylvania, no governor has ever been defeated for re-election. So Lynn Swann, who's African-American and a Republican, has his work cut out for him. But right now, the polls show it look pretty close.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Peter. Let's see if we can get one last one in. And this is, there we go, Michael. Michael with us from Atlanta.
Yes, hello, am I on?
Yes, make it quick, Michael.
Oh, all right, yeah, no, I was going to the comment. I actually live in Florida. I'm in Atlanta today working, but I wanted to go on the for the Robert C. Byrd, going back to West Virginia. But my grandfather helped Gaston Caperton, former governor there, when he was elected. And, you know, there's the old adage in West Virginia that Jesus Christ could run as a Republican against Robert C. Byrd, and he would lose. So, you know, and I definitely think that that's part of West Virginia mentality, and that's part of their problem in helping get that state up and running.
All right. Michael, thanks very much for the call. Political analysis always welcome here, even if it's from our political junkie, Ken Rudin. Ken, always good to have you with us every Wednesday here in Studio 3A. If you'd like to check out Ken's political junkie column, go to npr.org. You should also check out NPR's blog, Mixed Signals. Ken Rudin, we're getting desperate, is writing that this week.
So lonely.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.